Okay.
Yashodanandana Vrjanarandana Yashodanandana Vrjanarandana Yamunatiya
Prince Kaho, Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Raita Garada, Shri Vasudeva Gaur Bhaktivinoda. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. Glory to Shri Guru and Kauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, text, Canto 2, Chapter 6, text 29 and 30. Is it? Yeah. Tataste bratara imi prajnanam patayo nava Ayajan vyaktam avyaktam Purusham su samahita Tataste bratara imi Prajnanam patayo nava Ayajan vyaktam avyaktam Purusham su samahita Tataste bratara imi Prajnanam patayo nava Ayajan vyaktam avyaktam Purusham su samahita Tataste bratara imi Prajnanam patayo nava Ayajan vyaktam Purusham su samahita Tataste bratara imi Prajnanam patayo nava Tataste bratara imi Prajnanam patayo nava Ayajan vyaktam avyaktam Purusham su samahita Tataste bratara imi Tataste bratara imi Prajnanam patayo nava Ayajan vyaktam avyaktam Purusham su samahita Tata thereafter Te yer Bratara Brothers, ime, these, prajnanam, of the living creatures, pataya, masters, nava, nine, ayajan, performed, vyaktam, manifested, abhyaktam, non-manifested, purusham, personalities, Samahitaha with proper rituals. Translation of purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada.
Jai.
My dear son, thereafter your nine brothers, who are the masters of living creatures, perform the sacrifice with proper rituals to satisfy the manifested and non-manifested personalities. Purport. The manifested personalities are the demigods, like the ruler of the heavenly kingdom, Indra, and his associates. The non-manifested personality is the Lord himself. The manifested personalities are mundane controls of the material affairs, whereas the non-manifested personality of Godhead is transcendental, beyond the range of the material atmosphere. In this age of Kali, the manifested demigods are also not to be seen, for space travel has completely stopped. So both the powerful demigods and the Supreme Personality of Godhead are non-manifested to the covered eyes of the modern man. Modern men want to see everything with their eyes, although they are not sufficiently qualified. Consequently, they disbelieve in the existence of the demigods or of the Supreme God. They should see through the pages of authentic scriptures and should not simply believe their unqualified eyes. Even in these days, God can also be seen by qualified eyes tinged with the ointment of love of God. Text started. We can do it again. Tatascha manava kali ijire vishayo pari itaro vibhuda dhaitya manushya kratubir vibhu. Translation. Thereafter, the Manus, the fathers of mankind, the great sages, the forefathers, the learned scholars, the daityas, and mankind perform sacrifices meant to please the Supreme Lord. Purport. The daityas are devotees of the demigods because they want to derive the greatest possible material facilities from them. The devotees of the Lord are eka nishta, are absolutely attached to the devotional service of the Lord. Thereafter, they have practically no time to seek the benefits of material facilities. Because of their realization of their spiritual identity, they are more concerned with spiritual emancipation than with the material comforts. Om Gyana Tirmansya Gyananjana Shalakaya Sakshanam Tamina Tasmai Shri Guru. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhagavendra Swami Namaste Sarasati Devi Gaurava Chaitanya Vishesha Shrimadari Prashtachari Satana Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Raita Gadada Sri Vasudeva Gaur Bhakta Vinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Hare Krishna, everybody. So the process of sacrifice is continuing. It has been continuing for some time. And it's actually being performed now. Lord Brahma gathered all the ingredients for sacrifice, and now his sons are going to perform some of these sacrifices. His sons are generally the progenitors, or some of the progenitors of mankind. There are ten of them, because here it's stated, Brahma is telling Narada that nine of your brothers, Bhattara. And those brothers are Marichi, Atri, Angira, Pulaha, Kratu, Prachetas, Vashishta, Bhrigu, Pulastya, and of course Narada. So these are the ten brothers, and they're going to perform the sacrifice both to the demigods and to the Supreme Lord. Srila Prabhupada went on to say in the purport that within this age of Kali, the demigods are no longer manifested. In the other ages, the demigods would actually come and attend the yajna, or they would be flying in the air and you could actually see them. Like even in the Ramayana and the Mahabharata, when they're sometimes they're fighting or whatever, all the demigods would be circling in the air with their consorts, looking on. When Lord Ramachandra was fighting Ravana. And then different fights in the Mahabharata also, the same thing were taking place. Actually, when Parshuram and Bhishma Dev were fighting, also the demigods were in the air looking on, cheering on. You see? And so they were manifested, but in this Kali Yuga, the specific reasons, because the people of Kali Yuga are very fallen. See, Kali Yuga is a very degraded age. Even though 5,000 years has expired, still the force of Kali Yuga is already here upon us. And so the demigods, they would not show themselves anymore. And so you get questions like, well, why are all these planets in the universe and no life whatsoever? Constantly we get these questions. If there are so many planets in the universe and no life, something is wrong from the scientific perspective. See? And they're feeling that this world actually came by chance. And because of that, life have not evolved on the other planets. That's their conception. But it is not so. Srila Prabhupada stated here that because we are unqualified and our senses are imperfect, this is actually the fundamental reason. Our senses are imperfect. So to perceive these beings in their subtle features is rather difficult. And so because of this, especially the scientists, but most of the world also have this faithlessness. Well, maybe there's no one there. Actually a lot, sometimes they're saying, we are the aliens. They never use terms like demigods or whatever. They always use terms like aliens. Where are the aliens? Are they what they look like? And you know how they draw these pictures. Sometimes they draw a being with like a long face and two big eyes, and that's the alien. See? And so so much speculation. But Srila Prabhupada says, if you look through the eyes of the Shastra, we would be able to see the demigods and see all the other beings that are living on the other planets. Not only the demigods, but you have the Gandharvas, the Apsaras, the Pitris, the Vidyadharas, the Siddhas, the Rakshas, the Yakshas. What else? Huh? Kinnaras, Kimpurushas. Yeah, so many beings are there, you know. And so, but with these eyes we cannot see. We have to look through the eyes of the Shastra to see these beings. And then our faith can be solidified. You see? So these sons of Brahma, they're performing the sacrifice to the Lord and to the Supreme, to the Lord and to the demigods. Then the other text says, then the Manus, the father of mankind,
the great sages, the forefathers, the learned scholars, the deities, and mankind perform sacrifices meant to please the Lord. So sometimes we wonder why all these sacrifices are going on. What's the purpose behind them? And so Lord Krishna gave us some clear understanding within the Bhagavad Gita. He says, Saha yagya praja shustva puruvacha praja pati anena pasha vishya dvam esha vosva ishta kamadu. In the beginning of creation, the Lord of all creatures sent forth generation of men and demigods, along with sacrifices for Vishnu, and bless them by saying, be thou happy by this jagya, because its performance will bestow upon you everything desirable for living happily and achieving liberation. See? So we see that the Lord has established this demigod sacrifice. Devan bhavagatanena te deva bhavayantu vaha. The demigods, being pleased by sacrifices, will also please you. And thus, by cooperation between men and demigods, prosperity will reign for all. Ishtan bhogan hi vo deva dashyante jagya bhavitaha. In charge of the various necessities of life, the demigods, being satisfied by the performance of jagya, will supply all necessities to you. But he who enjoys such gifts without offering them to the demigods in return is certainly a thief. And then 3:14, Anad bhavanti bhutani parjanyat anasambhava. All living beings subsist on food grains, which are produced from rains. Rains are produced by performance of jagya, and jagya is born of prescribed duties. So we see that this process has been established by the Lord, and is fundamental for the living entities. But an essential question arose, and that was, why the Lord, who knew in the future that people would take to demigod worship seriously, allowed this to actually happen? And we've seen, you know, like of the Vedic followers, most of the Vedic followers are, we can say, is in India or Bharatvarsha, right? And there's 1,400,000,000 people. And of those, at least 800 or 900 million are demigod worshippers. Most. Then of course you have some Muslims and so forth. But if you look at that thing, Vaishnavas, maybe 100 million, is it? 100 million, and then maybe around the world, about that. But look at the amount of demigod worshippers that are within the world of the Vedic followers. That's almost more than 75%. See, and so the question has been asked: Why the Lord allow this? And there's a few personalities that actually ask that question. I think Janamejaya was asked by one of the sages there. Let me see if I have the names here. Yeah, Janamejaya, the disciples of Vyasadeva, asked Vyasadeva also. And Sukadeva Goswami and Maharaj preached it. why is demigod worship being allowed? And so there's a nice explanation within the Mahabharata. Demigod worship is called pravriti, the origin of pravriti. And it's stated, Sukadeva Goswami replied, O Shaunaka, King Janamejaya had brought up the same question when he inquired from Vishampayana as follows. O Rishi, how is it that the greatly intelligent purified demigods turn away from the highest goal of life, liberation, and instead try to enjoy the temporary and limited fruits of material life? Vishampayana replied, My dear king, the same question was asked of Srila Vyasadeva by his disciples when they were living atop Mount Meru. It seems like Mount Meru is on earth here. See, I shall now repeat to you the very literary incarnation of Godhead. What the literary incarnation of Godhead said. Srila Vyasadeva replied, My dear disciples, once long ago, when I visited Svetadeep, Lord Narayan personally enlightened me regarding this subject. In the beginning of creation, Lord Brahma brought the demigods and rishis into being. And when they approached him in order to learn of their specific duties, the universal Granthaya said, My dear progeny, thank you very much for this inquiry. I have also been thinking over this matter very deeply, because only by your proper actions will the universe be maintained in an auspicious manner. I have concluded that the only way in which we shall be able to correctly ascertain the nature of our duties is to approach the Supreme Master, Lord Vishnu, who is the all-knowing and infallible. Since the Lord is the original cause of creation and is very merciful to his obedient servants, I am sure he will give us direction. And so they went to Svetadeep and they meditated and prayed to the Lord for 1,000 celestial years. You know how much is a celestial year? Who knows how much is a celestial year? Anybody could say? One celestial year. 1,000 celestial years. Anybody? Let me. 1,000 celestial years. Kali Yuga is 1,000 celestial years. But it's not 432,000 years. Kali Yuga is 1,000 celestial years. Kali Yuga is 1,000 celestial years, but it's 432,000 human years. But 432,000 years is not 1,000 celestial years. So who knows the answer?
Well, Srila Prabhupada said 1 year, 1 day of the demigods is 6 months of Earth.
Yeah. So calculate. Yeah.
If it's 1,000 years, it would be times 180. My calculation.
1,000 celestial years is 360,000 human years. And then we get an additional 72,000 years because there's what you call transition from Dwarpa Yuga to Kali Yuga and transition from Kali Yuga to Satyuga. There are 200 more celestial years. So that added to 1,000 celestial years gave you 432,000 human years. So anyhow, the demigods and Lord Brahma meditated in the Lord for 360,000 human years to hear what Lord Vishnu would tell them. The demigods and rishis were highly delighted to hear the speech. Okay. Yes. So Lord Brahma then took all the demigods and rishis to the northern shore of the milk ocean, and there they began to perform very severe austerities, while standing immovable with upraised arms and eyes torn to the sky. So they're like this for 360,000 years, waiting on Lord Vishnu, right? After passing 1,000 celestial years, they suddenly heard the voice of the Supreme Lord. After welcoming the demigods and the rishis, the Lord said, O controller of universal affairs, So who are the controllers of the universal affairs? The demigods and Lord Brahma. I know of the reason why you have come here, and so I shall empower you with pravriti, the inclination to act in a particular way. As a result, all of you will take up your prescribed duties, and I shall also assign you your jurisdictions. My only request is that you never fail to offer sacrifices wherein the first offerings are for my satisfaction. The demigods and Rishi were highly delighted to hear the speech of Lord Vishnu, and they immediately arranged for a great sacrifice to be performed for his satisfaction. Lord Brahma offered the first portion to Lord Vishnu, and then the other demigods and rishis spoke while remaining invisible. My dear demigods and rishis, I have accepted your offerings with great pleasure. However, at the same time, I must inform you that the rewards which you will receive from these sacrificial performances shall not be everlasting, so they are temporary. Later on, when human beings perform sacrifices, they will first of all offer oblations unto me, and then unto yourselves. This will strengthen your positions so that you shall be able to continue upholding the universe during your allotted lifetime. I have created you, the demigods, and the Shakta Rishis, with the propensity to pravriti, but others such as the Kumaras, have been created with the propensity for nivriti. So the reason for worshipping the demigods in one sense is of course the Lord has to be worshipped, but the demigods get some of that offerings to help strengthen their position within the universe, because they're all universal administrators. And we know, we know Indra, he gives rain, Surya gives sunshine, Vayu, wind, Soma, what would you say, moonshine? But also the moon does a lot of things to the earth, you know. It gives the juice to the plants and so forth. So all these demigods, they have a service to perform. And to help them in their service, they are allowed to take a portion of that sacrifice. But that doesn't mean that they should be exclusively be worshipped. You know, of course, Lord Krishna would later explain that it's not necessary even to worship them. But the idea is to encourage them in their position. But Srila Prabhupada writes within the second purport that the daityas especially like to worship the demigods. And who are the daityas? The daityas are actually the demons. They are sons of Diti. You have Aditi, who are the Adityas, and you have Diti. Her sons are the daityas, and they're actually the demons. So the demons, they like to please the demigods so that they can get some good benefits. And we know of Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. You see, they had wanted to become immortal. And why they want to become immortal? Because they want to become the supreme. Hiranyakashipu, you know, when he was bribing Lord Brahma, you know, he said, well, look, I don't want to die in the day or the night. So if you can't die in the day and the night, what happens there? You're not going to die, right? I don't want to die indoor nor outdoor. Right? Can't die indoor, outdoor, wing. I don't want to be killed by man or beast. You know? And so he was trying to trick Lord Brahma, thinking that you know, he would become immortal. You see? Not him alone, but all the other demigods, like Ravana did the same.
you know, Ravana was trying to bring Banasura, and then Hiranyaksha.
So the demons, they always like to try to get the powers. You know, they want to get the powers so that they can dominate the world. See? That's how. So Srila Prabhupada said, he didn't really actually call them demons, but he said daityas. But the daityas are the demons in different other places. It's been stated. Even Srila Prabhupada stated like that. You see? And so so they're like a free pass, if you will. You know, I mean, you often hear this word, free pass. They want to get powers, and as they get these powers, they dominate the world. See, but the devotees, they're ekanishta. They're focused on satisfying the Lord, on pleasing the Lord. And so Srila Prabhupada wrote here that they don't have time to be worshipping the demigods. You know, they exclusively offer the worship to the Supreme. So these sacrifices, they go on from ages to ages with in different aspect. We know the sacrifice for Satya Yuga was specifically meditation. Then in Treta Yuga was jagyas, right? Was jagyas, and then in Dwarpa Yuga was deity worship, and then Kali was specifically chanting of the holy names. But still you could see the impact of this devata worshiping so predominant in the world today. So that is one of our big focus also, to diminish this demigod worship or oust it. You see, and so because it's very prevalent, you know, and people they're just attached. Like when I go to my sister, you know, I try to tell her, look, you have to worship Krishna and focus on him. Okay. But she would have Krishna on top and she has like 20 demigods at the bottom. You know, and they can't give it up. Like if I'm there for a while, they might put Krishna aside and do the little thing there. And then next time when I go back, everything is the same, all the young thing. If there's so much murtis of the demigods, and this is practically in most of the Vedic followers' home. See, and it's difficult. So this is one of our focus. We have to really focus on outsin this conception. Because over the years by worshipping the devotees, they think, well, that is okay and that's the way. And what's encouraging it also is you have these priests. These priests, they want to make a lot of money. And so what they want to do, they want to encourage data worship. Okay, today I'm going to do Durga worship, tomorrow I'm going to do Kali, the next day I'm going to do Surya, the next day I'm going to do Saraswati, and the next day I'm going to do Chandra. So he has 7 days covered. And each day, each puja is about $300 to $500. So when you work it out, you're set for the week, you know. And then you calculate for the month. Yeah, and this is good, and it's not so easy. I mean, I can tell it's happening like Guyana, Trinidad, New York, wherever there are Vedic followers. And I'm sure the same thing goes on in England, wherever else. So this is one area that we really have to preach. And the other area is in the scientific department, because we can see how also they're, you know, because of being focused so much on the perceptions of the senses, thinking that they're perfect, how they're misleading the world also. See? And so this is another era we have to get
get going, you know. And so it's important. So these verses, they're part of this whole Purusha Shukta praise. Praising the Lord and the universal form, the Virat Rupa. The Virat Rupa, actually it's stated that the Virat Rupa, the Lord sacrificed this form for the benefit of the universe. And that's why he had expanded this Virat Rupa, and it represents everything on the face, on earth and in the whole universe. See? And so Purusha Shukta specifically is explaining parts by parts. And now it came to the part of the sacrifice. And this is what we're going through now. And so we probably know the Shapta Rishis and the forefathers. The forefathers are generally the Pitris. The Shapta Rishis are Kashyapa, Atri, Vashishta, Vishamitra, Gautama, and Janamejaya. And of course, the demigods are like the Adityas, the Vasus, Rudras, Vishvadevas, Maruts, Ashwins, Ribhu. And the forefathers are the Pitris. And there are different types of Pitris. Like Somapas, Havishmanas, Ajyapas, and Shukalins. They are the four types of Pitris. See? So all these partook in the sacrifice to the Lord. So I'll stop here. If there's any comment, any question, yes, Prabhuji.
One of the primary reasons that sacrifices have stopped is because Buddha appeared to rectify the fact that these sacrifices were going on, but they became more and more centered on slaughtering animals.
The animal sacrifices.
And all these different things. So he preached nonviolence. And it was adopted by, I forget the name of the king, but it was adopted by one of the emperors in India, and it became, became the state religion. So there is a progression in different types of religion which are leading up to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance. And although we can't see, you know, sometimes the ultimate goal or how this is going to get from this point to that point, Krishna has a plan for this. Also, when people do these demigod worships, there's some worship of Vishnu, so it gives them an opportunity to progress by worshiping Vishnu and various things like that.
Yeah, definitely. So Srila Prabhupada also explained that, I mean, the demigod worshippers, they're not totally losers, really. You know, they actually, you know, they also worship the Supreme Lord. But now it's getting more prevalent where they want quick benefits. You know, the quick benefits, so to take a shortcut to get it, really, you know. And we know, like, the different benefits you can get from the devas. Yeah, yeah. But of course, you know, we're focused on the Supreme and focused on going back to God. We don't want to stay here. Lord Krishna says, those that worship the devatas, go to the devatas. Those that worship the Pitris, go to the Pitris. And those that worship me, come back to me. You see? So we want to go back to Krishna. Right? Any other points? Okay, thank you guys so much. Oh, Shak Thakur has a point here.
Hare Krishna, thank you, Prabhu. I'm trying to gather a point in chapter 3 of text 9, before those verses that you read about the cycle of sacrifice. Krishna starts out with saying that work done as a sacrifice for Vishnu has to be performed. And then there were three verses describing
the devas.
Well, the process of sacrifice that the Lord set up, you know, in the beginning of the universe, and how, you know, if we don't participate in that.
Yeah.
I was trying to find a conclusion in this chapter where Krishna was pointing to himself, but later on, at least in chapter 5, I remember,
yes,
he says he's the ultimate beneficiary of all sacrifices.
All sacrifices, definitely.
And probably somewhere before that he says, those who worship the demigods worship me, but in the wrong way.
Indirectly, yeah. Because really, really, it's meant, and even when we see that Lord Vishnu established Pravriti Marga, he says, they should worship me first, and then, you know, they can honor you guys, you know? But that was said there. And aham jagya sar, aham jagya sarva, how it goes, Prana? Aham jagya sarvasyam, something like that. Anyway, I am the...
This is 924.
Yeah. Yes. Jagyana, right. Yeah. I am the...
And if you don't know me, then what happened?
Huh?
That verse says, if you don't understand this, then what happened?
If... you fall down. Yeah, that's right. That's right, Prana. Yeah. Okay, Prabhuji, thank you guys so much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Hare Krishna.